The enemy, the corrupt, the cheats, and the deceivers have been planning this war for years. As I seem to have been saying forever and a day, nothing has happened by accident. All the bad things that have happened to us since the beginning of 2020 were carefully thought out and planned years ago. The coronavirus hoax, the deaths, the hospital closures, the rising food prices, the global warming fraud, and the damn near mandatory vaccines have all been meticulously prepared for decades. And they were ready and waiting to attack anyone who questioned the lies. Nothing was left to chance. The truth had to be suppressed. In 2020, on March the 18th, I recorded a video warning about mandatory vaccines for the coronavirus. The day after that, my Wikipedia page was vandalized, and I was, with no evidence whatsoever, described as discredited, a conspiracy theorist, and an anti-vaxxer. Google duly took up the defamation. I've always told the truth in my books and articles, and more recently videos. I've never allowed my views to be dictated by money, but I was immediately considered a threat. It was long ago decided that the chief weapons in this war would be propaganda, communication, and intimidation. In 2016, at the World Economic Forum, it was pointed out that people would be happy to give up privacy for technology. My book Endgame contains details of how the global warming scam, the hoax behind the hoax, was deliberately planned as a way to terrify the gullible and the simple-minded. Today, our lives are being managed day by day, and the plan is for that to continue. Long before 2020, the billionaires, the governments and their allies discussed ways to control and suppress the truth, to flood the media with propaganda, to discredit truth-tellers and impose penalties on those found guilty of telling the truth. Knowing that their war would be about deception, censorship and oppression, they worked out how to censor websites and control social media and video platforms. Right from the start, they realised that the battle would be fought in the media. They've talked incessantly about following the science, but that's always been a lie. They knew that with the world economy crashed, the world's media would be threatened with bankruptcy. And so they planned to buy the media with huge amounts of advertising. I believe they bought the BBC by promising to allow it to keep the much-hated, totally unfair licence fee for years to come, forcing the public, or that part of it innocent enough to pay the licence fee, to pay for the corrupt and unwholesome BBC's propaganda onslaught. In the UK, no organisation has proved as utterly uncaring for the health of its customers as the BBC. I suspect that the BBC alone will have already helped kill millions. BBC journalists will, like corrupt politicians and uncaring doctors, be held responsible for the lies and misinformation they spread. And many so-called journalists are going to spend years in prison. The other day I saw a BBC headline which encouraged readers to have the jab to protect their friends and family. That's a fact-checker fail if ever I saw one. Similarly, I saw a BBC journalist describe COVID-19 as contagious. They ought to know that it's infectious rather than contagious. I've detailed BBC nonsenses in a number of videos. And since they knew there would be opposition to the takeover of the world, they also prepared ways to oppress, to suppress, to silence and to demonise those of us who they thought might be a threat, who they thought might counter the lies with old-fashioned facts derived from solid scientific and medical research. They instructed the media that we were not to be allowed access to mainstream media, and under no circumstances were we to be allowed to debate with government-sponsored spokesmen and shills. If they genuinely believed in their claims, then they'd be enthusiastic about debating, thinking that they could silence people like me by humiliating me. But they won't debate because they know they'll lose. The facts are all on our side. They deliberately and cold-bloodedly devised ways to silence the dissidents, mainly doctors and scientists, who might threaten the global reset and the lurch towards the new normal. I was the first person to call the coronavirus scare a hoax, meaning that the danger had been wildly exaggerated. On reflection, I should have called it a fraud. It's all been about money and power with a side order of greed. PSYOP specialists have controlled the public in a way never seen before. The monstering, as it's known in journalism circles, had three aims. First, to discredit those speaking out so that no one would take any notice of their warnings, their advice, or the facts they tried to share. Second, to discourage others from sharing the truth. Third, to demoralise and destroy those who did speak out, to ruin their lives so completely that they would in the end give up, retreat, and retire from the fray. Recently, I learnt that an eminent and extremely respectable American osteopathic doctor had removed information about COVID from his website because of the level of abuse he'd received from fake fact checkers and sponsored websites. He's by no means the only one. Aided and abetted by a mixture of the ignorant, the stupid, and the corrupt, they have been enormously successful in all of their aims. We're fighting a war against a fake pandemic, the coronavirus hoax, the COVID frauds, the global warming pseudoscience, the hoax behind the COVID hoax. We're battling against the many pseudoscientific, BBC-promoted lies which lie behind the unnecessary and deadly lockdowns, the pointless and dangerous masks, the absurd social distancing and the toxic hand sanitizers. These things, particularly the lockdowns, are intended to prepare us for more oppression, censorship and imprisonment in the name of global warming. And of course we're battling the experimental injections, which are being dishonestly sold to a gullible and unsuspecting and broken public by a fearsome array of conspiracy practitioners. Incidentally, Coleman's first law of medicine is that if you develop new symptoms after receiving treatment, then the new symptoms are most likely the result of the treatment. The law also applies to injections into healthy individuals. And remember that if a drug taken by mouth causes side effects, you can stop the drug. But so-called vaccines will remain in the body even after adverse effects have developed. The war has now reached a critical point. The lies being told by the conspirators, by which I mean the politicians, the representatives of unrepresentative organisations, such as the World Health Organization and the World Economic Forum, the paid advisers, the PSYOP specialists, the secret services, the medical establishment and the crooked, bought and paid for journalists, are accumulating rapidly and forming a veritable mountain of deceits, misdirections, and blatant dishonesties. They work on the basis that if you tell enough lies and shout them loudly, then people will believe what you say because they can't believe anyone would lie that much or that loudly. The mass of doctors and journalists are either bought or too lazy to do any research. Those of us who are fighting on the right side of this war spend much of our time accumulating new evidence in our favour. We all do it. If I were ever allowed to debate with Whitty or Valance, the UK's chief medical and scientific advisers, I would need a truck to carry all the scientific papers I've acquired. But the chances of my ever being allowed to debate with anyone in authority are non-existent. The plain fact is that our daily research is unnecessary, however. We have more than enough solid facts in our armoury. We can easily blow away the opposition's flimsy arguments and unsubstantiated claims. It is, of course, for this reason that the government's advisers and their friends at the BBC have steadfastly refused to accept my long-standing challenge to a live debate. I've been writing about prescription drugs and vaccines of one sort or another for over half a century. My books have been translated into 26 languages and sold around the world. My first book, The Medicine Men, was an analysis of the relationship between doctors and drug companies. Ironically, the book, published in 1975, was serialised in the Guardian newspaper and the subject of a 20-minute film on the BBC's main news programme of the time. Over the years, some of my campaigns have resulted in changes to government policy. I've lectured to doctors and nurses, and in the past I was regularly invited onto television to debate contentious issues. TV companies used to hire me as a presenter, an expert. I doubt if there's a major media house that I haven't worked for. I once had 5 columns in national newspapers at the same time, under different names. Today, however, the truths I tell are considered far too dangerous to be aired in public. I'm no less of an expert than I used to be, and the signs of senility haven't started to poke through just yet, so it's pretty clear that the refusal to allow debate or discussion is a result of their determination to suppress the truth and feed the public an unending series of lies and a diet of misinformation. Governments are working hard to ensure that the truth is suppressed and that I'm demonized and discredited. What used to be my Wikipedia page, but which is now a compendium of distortions, is now controlled by the Central Intelligence Agency in the USA and the British Secret Intelligence Service. Describing me as a discredited conspiracy theorist and anti-vaxxer was done purely to stop people listening to anything I say. It saddens me enormously that so many people believe the lies. By whom am I discredited? By a solitary CIA operative writing on Wikipedia? That lie was then taken up by the media, and most disappointing of all, accepted by many people in the resistance movement. It's no fun to find that on a political whim, and for entirely dishonest reasons, your reputation is relentlessly trashed, and a lifetime's honest work in the interest of patients, once considered honourable and respectable, is dismissed overnight. And to find that the widespread professional condemnation is decorated with a compendium of misinformation and unjustifiable sneers. It's worse still when you read people saying things like, "I used to believe him, but then I saw that he'd been discredited." Why do they never ask, discredited by whom? It's worth noting that Larry Sanger, the co-founder of Wikipedia, recently described the self-styled, self-published fake encyclopedia as thoroughly corrupt, tarnished with behind-the-scenes controls and payoff. Take a look at his excellent book, Essays on Free Knowledge, and you'd never use Wikipedia again. And remember, Sanger is the co-founder. Wikipedia is an encyclopedia in the way that the BBC is an independent broadcaster. Take a look at my video explaining how Wikipedia works. One Wikipedia editor even boasted that he was going to take down Wikipedia pages dealing with 2 of my novel series, one of which is the subject of an award-winning movie starring Pauline Collins as the character Mrs. Caldicott. This was nothing to do with COVID. It was nothing more than spite and an attempt to damage me. No one other than an anonymous Wikipedia editor had ever described me as discredited before Wikipedia did. It's governments and their advisers who are the conspirators, not me. And of course, Google works hand in glove with Wikipedia to ensure that the lies are spread wide and far and look convincing. The innocence, integrity, and independence of the internet has been destroyed by Google and Wikipedia, 2 malignant organizations now joined at the hip and dedicated to oppressing, stigmatizing, discriminating, and destroying original thinkers. These 2 are the greatest threats to freedom, democracy, and original thinking. They, like the BBC in the UK, are determined enemies of science, truth, and rational thinking. I constantly receive messages from IT specialists pointing out that my websites are difficult to find on Google. "We can make your website number 1," they promise. Well, no, they can't. I've been fighting drug companies and governments all my life, and Special Branch and MI5 operatives long ago admitted that they've spied on me, tapped my phones and filmed me. In the 80s, I received many threats by post and fax. Some of the writs I received, delivered by bailiff for extra effect, were so lengthy that they were pushed through the cat flap. My fellowship of the Royal Society of Medicine was ended, and a solicitor representing drug companies sent me a foot-thick parcel of cuttings about me, most of which I'd never seen before. But what's happening now is different. Last month alone, there were well over 8 million worldwide visits to just one of my websites, and presumably as a result, there were over 1,700 serious attempts to hack into that one site and take it down. Over 1,700 hacking attempts in 1 month. Most of the hacking came from the United States. The attacks and the abuse now come daily. The liars frequently claim that I've been discredited or struck off the medical register. Neither of these libels is true, though sadly, millions believe them. The liars make something up, get a tame journalist to repeat the lie, and then use the article as a reference source for the lie. They've trawled through all my old articles and claim I was wrong about AIDS in the 1980s, but I wasn't. Read what I wrote, and it was absolutely accurate. This isn't common or garden social media abuse. This is a determined attempt to destroy an individual whose crime is telling the truth in a world where the truth has become unacceptable. I confess, it annoys me a little when people say that being attacked means that you're doing something right and is a badge of honour. Well, it might do if the attack just involves a few rude comments, but when your entire life has been turned inside out and upside down, it becomes a bit more than that. I feel so oppressed and so withdrawn that I haven't spoken in person to anyone other than my wife and a few assorted shop assistants for a year. I genuinely worry about being assassinated. It's the one weapon they have left, and I wouldn't be the first to be permanently silenced. I've been accused of campaigning to make money. Well, that's a tricky one to understand, since my reputation and my book sales have been destroyed, and I've never monetized my videos or my websites, though it would have been easy to do so. The websites cost money to maintain, of course. My two biggest selling books are available free as PDFs from my websites, and thousands have downloaded them. The commission on a free book doesn't buy many lunches. I'm accused of campaigning because I'm seeking attention. That doesn't stand up when you realise that I've turned down 20 times as many interviews as I've given. Just ask around. And who wants the sort of attention I get? I confess I'm so mortified by the way I've been lied about that I have for many months found it difficult to leave home. The lies have been endless and as curious as they've been irrelevant. I've been accused of being a Russian spy, which is absurd. My name ends in man, so I've been said to be Jewish. I've brushed my fingers through my hair, what's left of it, and held my head in my hands in anguish, and somehow that made me a Freemason. I don't see the relevance of these claims, but none of these things is true. I've been libeled and lied about everywhere, but no mainstream radio or TV station will give me airtime to debate the important issues or to defend myself. The enemy know that if we were allowed to debate COVID, they would have lost months ago. The most powerful forces in the world, governments and the media, have combined to lie to substantiate the most evil fraud in history. It used to be the rule that if a TV company made a program attacking someone, they would invite the victim into the studio. No more. The rules have changed. Today, let me remind you, the BBC boasts that it will not allow critics of vaccination into its studios. CIA and MI5 operatives have searched back through the 5,000 articles I've written for national newspapers, searching for something to weaponize. They tried to use my articles about AIDS written in the 1980s, and a newspaper in Thailand triggered some strange attacks, but everything I wrote back then was absolutely accurate. I remember standing on the pavement outside the LBC studios after a lengthy debate about AIDS and being staggered when the campaigner who'd just been attacking me on air, privately admitted that everything I'd said had been accurate. The publishers of my book Health Scandal in the 1980s announced plans for a massive promotional campaign and then suddenly and mysteriously abandoned the book. The book contained a chapter about AIDS. I believe that the AIDS scare was the first attempt to frighten populations into accepting Agenda 21. And it was an oversold scare which my articles and broadcasts stopped in its tracks. Now the critics always refer to me as Mr. rather than Doctor. It's part of the destruction of credibility. If you want to know how ruthless the opposition can be, read Roche versus Adams, the terrifying story of how a whistleblower was damn near destroyed. Remember Cassandra, the Greek, whose warnings were dismissed and ignored? Well, I feel an affinity with Cassandra in that respect. It's been found increasingly difficult to find publishers for my books. I've even been banned from buying ads for my websites or books. Mohammed Butt had to move Brand New Tube outside the UK because he was told that the platform would be shut down unless my videos were removed. When early on I offered to leave and stop making videos, the ever generous and honourable Mohammed Butt told me he would close down the platform if I did. My emails are blocked and disappear. Often they turn up 4 or 5 days late. My books have been banned completely in some countries. This isn't anything new. For example, China banned me completely some years ago because of a column about vaccination which I wrote in a widely circulated Chinese newspaper. German publishers did the same thing. The result is that not a day goes by that I don't wish I hadn't started this damn campaign. I wish I'd just stayed gently retired, writing light comedies and enjoying life a little, growing poppies and lupins. Professionally, I know I'm finished. A small group of full-time haters go around putting libels on anything I do. And yet nothing I've said or written has been done without good intentions. Everything's been based on solid research. And for many years, I've time and time again been proved right. Check out my predictions for the last year alone. The only videos of mine that have gone were deleted by YouTube, and the transcripts of those are on vernoncolman.com, except for the very first video, which I did without a script. It annoys me when the British government expresses dismay at the abuse on social media. When I know that British and American governments are the main source of the abuse I suffer. A UK magazine called Country Life recently claimed that the abuse which occurs online is the price we pay for not living in an Orwellian police state. It must be nice to live in a world where you think that, where you still believe that we have a free nation and a free press. The eagle-eyed might have noticed that I no longer put the letters FRSA after my name. The reason is simple. Last month I was expelled as a Fellow of the Royal Society of Arts because the Society was, apparently, unhappy with my views, all based on the science, by the way, and offended that I had been attacked by the BBC's one-sided panorama programme. Objecting to my factually accurate opinions seemed a little close to fascism for my taste, and expelling me because I'd been attacked by the BBC looks like finding the victim of a mugging. It's not irrelevant that even the BBC itself appears to have found Panorama guilty of a major deception with regard to the Princess Diana interview. Apart from accusing me of being demonised on Panorama, hardly something within my control, the Royal Society of Arts accused me of questioning the myth of global warming, though everything I've written and said has been completely true. And I didn't realise it was now an offence to offer scientific evidence which disproves a hoax. The RSA also complained that there'd been a lot of discussion around me and that fellows had been tweeting about me, and so on and so forth. One of the tweeters appeared to have been someone called Catherine Nye, who I'd never heard of. How it appears, however, that there's a BBC presenter called Catherine Nye, whose photograph looks rather like the Twitter account holder who tweeted about me. Maybe they're related. If so, that's rather neat. The BBC attacks me for telling the truth, and then a BBC person tweets about me, and the RSA, instead of rallying round or looking for the truth, expels me for allowing this to happen. And let's not forget, the BBC is an organisation with financial links to the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, which has huge investments in the experimental vaccines. In my view, the BBC is the most consistently dishonest, prejudiced and wicked media organisation in the world. You couldn't make it up, could you? I've told you this sorry tale of unbridled persecution because it proves just how desperately dishonest the whole enterprise really is. If they were honest, they would debate with me, believing they'd win. But they can't debate with me because they'd lose, so they try to win by spreading lies. This isn't normal social media abuse. It's malicious lies invented and spread to cause doubt and to help to keep the truth suppressed. The ruthlessness and cruelty and refusal to debate are evidence of their fundamental wickedness, and I believe that if they don't manage to silence me in any other way, then they'll kill me. I'm not, of course, the only health professional to have been attacked. Every honest health professional who's dared to question the lies being told has been vilified and lied about, and their work unfairly discredited. Most have been viciously attacked by lying government hacks on Wikipedia. And it's this deliberate, cold-blooded, dishonest demonisation of those of us trying to share the truth, which, in part at least, explains why we're struggling to defeat the fascists and tyrants who are determined to impose the global reset upon us against our will. The truth has been the victim in this war, as it is in all forms of serious conflict. We don't need more facts that COVID-19 is a fraud. We don't need more evidence that the mainstream media and the so-called fact-checkers are as bent as paperclips. We don't need more theories. What we need to do is to spread the truth outside those who already know that the COVID-19 myth is based on fraudulent, fake science. We need to accelerate the rate at which we share the truth with the unknowing. Marches and Twitter conversations can, I know, be comforting and reassuring. It's easy to feel alone in a world where the mainstream media is committed to promoting the dishonest pro-vax arguments and to crushing the truth. But to win the war, we have to reach outside into the scary world where people believe what they've been told about masks and the vaccines. We will win by sharing the truth with as many people as possible. People who believe that the COVID jab works are by definition terminally trusting and gullible. They're buying a deliberately manufactured myth and a network of self-sustaining lies. They're the sort of trusting innocents who probably still believe that Father Christmas squeezes down chimneys once a year. They don't know that they're taking part in an experiment. They don't know that the jabs don't stop people getting COVID or spreading it. They don't know that the experiment won't finish officially until 2023. They don't know that it's been proved that COVID has killed no more than the flu. They don't know about the deaths related to the jabs. We need to share the facts which prove without any question that the experimental injections have killed and maimed tens of thousands. To do that, we simply share government figures from the United States and the UK. We need to share the evidence which proves that these are experimental drugs. We need to share the evidence proving that although the virus is real, it's no more deadly than the annual flu, and that it was a hoax to claim that we're facing the greatest death threat to human health since the Black Death. Government figures prove that all this is true. It isn't COVID-19 that's a hoax, of course. The hoax lies in selling the rebranded flu as a pandemic in the way that the virus has been marketed, promoted and advertised. The other side has deliberately caused confusion about this, and millions still think it's different to the flu. We're going to win this war by reaching out to people outside the resistance movement, and we'll do this by presenting the truth in a solid, reliable, entertaining and irrefutable way. We have the truth on our side, but we have to promote the truth so that we convert those who've been tricked, lied to and convinced by organisations such as the BBC. We have to concentrate on a few basic issues. First, they have lied about everything. The figures show that there has been no plague. Please share my video entitled Final Irrefutable Proof That the COVID-19 Pandemic Never Existed. Second, they've suppressed the truth and oppressed and demonized everyone telling the truth. Third, the COVID hoax is obviously part of something bigger, and that's the global warming hoax and Agenda 21. There never was any proof of global warming, and the inevitable, predictably unpredictable changes in the weather in recent decades have been nothing more than part of life, though there is an irony in that Bill Gates and others are deliberately now trying to block out the sun and change our weather. Fourth, their recommended remedies, social distancing, lockdowns, masks and jabs, were never necessary and always destined to do far more harm than good. I'd rather die than have the deadly experimental jab. The mainstream media won't allow us to debate these issues. We can't use Facebook or Twitter because these platforms are owned by the fascist cabal trying to take over the world. We have to face the fact that we're living in a totalitarian society where the truth is suppressed by the authorities. When the deaths rise in the autumn, we know it'll be the fault of pathogenic priming, but they won't admit that. The deaths will be months away from the jabs, and they'll blame those of us who haven't been jabbed. My predictions about everything else, including the economy, have been absolutely accurate. This forecast will come true too. I've believed for many months that we need to reach out by sharing our information in the only way we can, through distributing leaflets, by handing out copies of the light paper, and by emailing copies of documents which offer convincing evidence proving that the government, the media, doctors and the broadcasters are lying through their teeth. It isn't difficult to do. There are leaflets and articles aplenty on www.vernoncolman.org where everything is free to download and send. And for addresses, try using media.info, a website which contains the contact details of newspapers, magazines, radio and television in the UK. This is a fight between good and evil, between your God and their devil, between the righteous and the Luciferian. We need an army of people prepared to do these things. My suggestion? Send out the article updated. How many people are the vaccines killing? Send it to doctors, journalists and politicians. Send it to schools, local newspapers and radio stations. Or send the video and transcript of final irrefutable proof that the COVID-19 pandemic never existed. It's no longer possible to put my videos or articles or on Facebook or Twitter. Both are now clearly oppressive organisations, but you can direct people to the appropriate places on my websites and on Brand New Tube. I worked out today that this is my 220th video in just over a year. They're all still valid and appropriate, and most are available one place or another. No wonder I feel knackered. Only by sharing the truth will we win this war. We have some advantages. We're right. We know we're right, and therefore we're passionate. And since we're cornered, we have nowhere else to go and no option but to continue fighting. But the truth is that time is running out. We must act now, or it'll be too late. Thank you for watching An Old Man in a Chair. Please subscribe to my channel on Brand New Tube and share my videos on other platforms such as BitChute. Many thanks to those who do share my videos and help to spread the truth. Please do translations too. Thanks as always to Mohammed Butt and Brand YouTube for providing the platform. For the record, this channel has not been monetized. None of my videos ever has been. There are no ads, no sponsors, and no requests for funds. If you haven't seen it, please watch my video on Brand YouTube about Wikipedia to see how they demonize me. My Wikipedia page was changed shortly after my first video over a year ago. And Google immediately adopted those strange things on there. Don't forget to watch my friend Dr. Colin Barron's amazing videos, which are always pertinent and always entertaining. And watch the excellent UK column, which provides the honest news programme the BBC should provide but never will. And read the Light Paper at lightpaper.co.uk and 21stcenturywire.com. Please visit my new website, vernoncolman.org. The old website, vernoncolman.com, still there. More old-fashioned, but it's been there for over a quarter of a century. It contains hundreds of articles on animal issues, politics, and all sorts of other things in addition to health. The new site, vernoncolman.org, is more up-to-date, and you can use it to watch videos and access articles to send on. Finally, although it may feel like it at times, please remember, you are not alone. More and more people are waking up. And once they're awake, they don't go back to sleep. If we're going to win this war, then we have to fight hard and with determination and with passion. Distrust the government, avoid mass media, and fight the lies. And thank you for watching an old man in a chair.